Hello, everybody. Welcome to Masters of None. And before we get started with everything, we have, we have all kinds of things that we got to talk about now that we're back. We have a interview at the end of this season opener. What is it, Art? Who are you talking to?
Yeah, I had the great pleasure talking with Anthony Jeselnik for his great show on Comedy Central, The Jeselnik Offensive. It's going to be the last 10 minutes of our podcast. You can check it out right there, and you can go to Comedy Central for more information on the show.
And also, Jay, we got a live event that we're going to be at next Sunday, the 11th, right? What's that all about?
Yeah, August 11th. We'll be talking about it more in depth in the show, but Newburgh Brewery in Newburgh, New York. We're going to have all the local Hudson Valley brewers and distillers coming into the same place. It's to raise money for St. Baldrick's, an awesome children's cancer foundation, and it's basically a free mini tasting. We're going to be doing a live show, and it goes from noon till 5. Get more info at drinkhv.tumblr.com or just keep listening. It's coming up.
And we'll be there. So it's important for you to show up and hang with us.
Live show.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Don't make us look stupid.
We got more info coming up, but so now let's get to it. On with the show.
This is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to The Masters of None.
This is Masters of None.
There's another podcast out there called Masters of None. I checked them out. They're very funny guys.
A comedy podcast that doesn't suck.
Hello, this is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to Masters of None.
Masters of None. The podcast is a comedy podcast that they say doesn't suck.
Okay.
Hey, everybody, this is Philip J. Fry from Futurama.
The comedy podcast that doesn't suck.
I'm not sure what it means, but that's why I'm going to keep listening. Until I find out.
We talk about and debate the best and worst of pop culture, man. Interview celebs and often make offensive jokes.
No way.
That's awesome. Bring it right
no
back.
Way.
Masters of None. It's a comedy podcast, and it does not suck.
Brought to you by the Simply Syndicated Network and lubricated by Blue Point Beer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back to Masters of None, Season 11, Episode 1, double ones, triple ones, all the way across the board.
Yeah. Go see my ones, go see my guns, get it?
Get up, get up. My name is Mike, along with me is Jay.
What up?
And Art.
Holla for the dollar.
I am psyched to be back for season 11. I know you guys are.
I'm psyched to be drinking this winter ale in the middle of summer.
Oh, look at you.
That's a great idea.
Meta Point
winter ale. Found some on sale at a beer store. $6 a six pack. I was like, yes, I'll buy that.
I got a little toasted lager, a little Blue Point toasted lager that I'm tackling right now. Pretty good.
Blueberry ale for me.
Nice, nice. Although it is nothing like the fresh Guinness that I've been drinking for the past.
Oh, yeah. Time for what we did on our summer vacation, everybody.
Dun,
yeah.
Da, da, da.
We talk about ourselves back for an hour.
Buckle up. Nothing but nonstop hits.
So this summer was a little different. We actually, I think all three of us finally got vacations, separate vacations.
Yes.
And we all went to very different places. Art, you just got back, right?
Yeah. Fresh out the deck from Indy, man.
Yeah. What was the whole deal with this now? This was like the second time you've been here for, what was it, Brickyard?
Yeah.
What was all that then?
What's yeah. this
Speaking of which, we know everybody's been waiting on the summer cliffhanger to know how what Mike said from our show in his Spamalot show.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Do you have any video of that at all? The whole anything?
Yeah, yeah, they taped it.
They taped like all the shows, yeah. Or
no, they taped a full one
full
one
show.
Shows. Yeah,
nice.
Nice. Did you say that in the full show?
Huh? Yeah, I said it in every show.
Nice.
Yeah.
And the phrase was in Act One, Scene One.
What's oldest then?
Dude, you made that play, man.
You guys cracked the fuck up. That was hysterical.
We're like the only two people laughing in the whole theater. I'm sure you distinctly heard both of us from either side of the theater.
I got a shush. You got a shush? Nice.
I got a shush.
Which, by the way, that was the only night that line got a laugh. I did the show, but I think it was like 12 shows or 14 shows or whatever. Only night. Only night.
Well,
it was perfect.
Well, it's not really a funny part. It actually fits in the scene.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
It's just like a line, but it's only a joke to us.
Mm-hmm. I did it every night, thinking that magically it would get a laugh every night, but it didn't.
What? There's no Masters of None listeners in the audience?
Come on, guys.
In this audience of 60 to 70-year-olds, upper-class New Jerseyans? I can't believe it. Oh, so you guys are all in our demographic.
It's like a straight no chaser concert.
That was a blast, man. That was a lot of fun afterwards too, when we were drinking with everybody and having a good time.
Yeah, and I forgot that the blonde chick's name, but you guys were the best.
Melody?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's good. She's got a good voice on her. So anyway, I finished that, and then we all kind of went our separate ways on our separate vacations. Art just got back from Indy for the Brickyard 400. Is that what?
By the way, I know everybody's been waiting all summer long to know what line from our show you said in your Spamalot show, Mike.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
What?
Are we going in circles here?
Burr, Inception horn.
What happened? Oh, yeah. So what happened in Indy, bro? Tell us all about it.
A lot of people made lefts.
Yeah. Just waiting for that one right. Never happened. A couple things happened. One, I started a trend on Twitter and Facebook called Bow Season.
Hang on. Explain for the people who don't know what the fuck you're talking about why you went to Indy and what you were there for.
I don't want to get into that. If you don't, if they don't know, then you don't care.
If you don't follow Dad at Work, NJ, on Twitter, you don't know what the fuck.
Forget yourself, fool. No, I was covering the Brickyard 400. This is the second year. It's a NASCAR race, and Crown Royal was nice enough to bring me out second time. And the whole main reason why they flew us out there is because each year they have a Crown Your Hero for the Brickyard, and they have someone who did some fantastic things in America or around the world. And this guy, Samuel Deeds, saved his Marines from Mr. Deeds. Yeah.
The whole time?
Yeah, didn't he get his dad's fortune? He had a butler with a
saved his group by jumping in front of an IED, and then when he was back home from surgery, he rescued people in a riptide on the coast of North Carolina. So it was like, yeah.
Jesus. Hang around this guy for a while.
Yeah, right? So then we had a scavenger hunt, and the winner got Super Bowl tickets, and I came in first place.
Damn,
Super
dude.
Bowl tickets.
Wait, yeah. You won Super Bowl tickets? Get the fuck out of here. Are you serious?
You won fucking Super Bowl tickets, so I won't have to sneak him in.
Oh, you get to go all the way to New Jersey to see the Super Bowl. Oh, shit. That is going to be awesome. Are they flying you
there? Well,
they might. Oh, please
tell me. Is that all expenses paid? Hotel?
It's a 20-second
flight. Isn't that suspicious how the one guy from New Jersey won tickets to the Super Bowl
in
New Jersey?
No, one person from California. There was like a group of four of us. One from California.
You know, they were just like, yo, we could save airfare and hotel for this one person in this group. Just let them win.
Yeah. Do you get a car?
Yeah, we're doing the whole weekend. They're bringing us to different events throughout the whole weekend.
Are you serious?
That's
are you going
awesome,
to
awesome,
parties
dude.
And shit?
Dude, last year's winner, let me tell you, last year's winner, they won like a Crown Royal personalized iPad. It was like a purple iPad. And then they went to the NBA All-Star game in Houston. And they met. They had like a chill event on Saturday, the night before the game, with Dr. J. And they're just hanging out with him, drinking a Crown. I was like, "That's cool." Yeah,
that's fucking crazy.
But still, if it was last year, you would have got a free trip to New Orleans and see your favorite fucking team in the Super Bowl. Although they would have lost, of course. But still, all right, it's still pretty awesome.
Hey, there's nothing.
So I'm the only one in this fucking group who's not going to the fucking Super Bowl. What the fuck?
Two thirds.
The system is fucked here.
Art, and here's the best part. Art won free.
Any other assholes in the ship not going to the Super Bowl? Hey!
Here's the best part. Art won free tickets, and I'm actually getting paid to be there.
So that means I get to overpay for a ticket.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. I'm going to pay 10 times face value. Because it'll probably be the fucking Dolphins, and they'll probably win. And I'll be the only shithead not there.
Hold up. If the Dolphins get in, I don't know how many tickets I'm getting, but if I get more than one, Dolphins... You would
get more than one?
I don't know, man.
No way.
We don't know yet.
That would be fucking sick.
Taking a look at stuff.
I tell you what, if the Super Bowl was in New Jersey and it was last year and the Niners got in and I had a ticket, I won it for free, I would give it to you.
There you go.
Putting that out there.
You're a nicer man than I am, then. But us.
Art, if the Giants are in the Super Bowl and you have a ticket, just don't have to give it to me because I'm still going to be there.
Fuck yourself.
Jake can go into the intern program. Can you, like, bring him in?
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Be Mike's audio intern. What a weird reversal of roles.
Who's the talent now?
Yeah, bitch.
That would be Art's fucking intern. Art, can I carry your keyboard? Let me hook that keyboard up for you.
So, and you saw, from what I saw on Facebook too, you're probably hanging out with a lot of our past friends and present friends from different blogs and sites. And
yeah.
Who made the rounds this year? Was Eric the bachelor
hold
guy
on,
there?
Hold
just
on.
Doing nothing and getting expensive cars and driving them off a cliff?
Just driving around, yeah. Prototype vehicles.
He was driving in a spaceship.
Hang on. Just real quick, I have to point out, finally, something good happened to art.
Yeah.
Hey.
Is this the year the world ends?
I think
what?
So, because this year has been weird. Like, I've been getting these limited edition Air Jordans. I've been getting some Bo Jacksons, dude. Got Super Bowl tickets.
For free?
I love that. It's number one.
Wait, free sneakers, too?
Oh, I got free sneakers, yeah.
You getting free Jordans now?
I got a pair of free Jordans, yeah.
Shut up!
What the fuck?
And I got
what's going
and
on?
And I got a free pair of Dominique Wilkins pumps.
No way.
Yeah.
Dude, there are four guys riding horses down the block right now.
Oh, my God. It's fucking raining frogs.
I can hear locusts at my door. What the fuck is going on here? How are you not telling us this shit?
I don't like to brag. I just like...
Bragging? Brag.
You've got to be fucking me.
Oh, that's awesome.
All of Art's dreams are coming true. What the... Finally, something so bad's gonna happen.
I finally kicked the football.
This is not good.
No. Here's the capper. This is when something bad happens. The moment that we see something on Facebook that says, "Had a great interview with Michael Jordan. Check it out on this."
That's gonna
happen. That'll happen next.
That is gonna happen.
Had a great interview with Michael Jordan. We had coffee.
I had a bagel. He had a Danish. It was a good time.
That's next, dude. You should fucking press your luck. No whammy, stop. Just fucking get him. Just go try to get Jordan right now.
I fucking can't get over this. Is Pedro president? Because all of Art's wildest dreams are coming true.
This is amazing.
Pedro won the presidency.
Year of Art, guys.
I'm pretty sick with the Bo staff.
Holy shit. The Chinese just called. They're updating their calendar.
It goes...
This is the year of the art.
Perfect.
I'm speechless. We should just end the show.
All right. For Jake?
I fucking cannot get over this. I seriously cannot get over this. Buy some lotto tickets, dude.
Yeah.
True, yeah.
Do it.
Watch, I go holy buy a lottery shit. Ticket and like some guy tries to rob the store and I get shot.
You've been... Yeah, you get Omar'd.
Yeah.
It's going to be... well, dude, so you got the Jordan hookup now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You got the Super Bowl tickets. You know what this means, actually, if this is true. The 49ers are going back to the Super Bowl. That's what it means in the NFC.
And there's the jinx.
Fucking win.
Nah, that's it.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Yeah.
No, here's what happens. The Niners go back to the Super Bowl. There's like 5 seconds left. They're winning. And then some sort of heinous terrorist act happens. The game just does not finish.
Wait a minute. We'll both be there. No. I'm going to say...
You two will be there.
A minute,
yeah, you two.
I'm going to say Niners go back to the Super Bowl, and then at halftime they discover that their coach is involved in some kid-touching scandal.
He's touching a kid in the locker room
as it's happening.
At the Super Bowl. There's a kid tied up in the coach's locker.
So they bring back Scott Norwood on the team, and it's like a down-the-field goal.
Scott
Dude,
Norwood,
if
Jr.
If the Niners make this...
The kicker.
If the Niners make the Super Bowl, Mike, you might want to call in sick that day. I'm serious. I would not want to be within 75. Wait a minute. That's not enough miles. That's not as far as I want to be from that stadium if the Niners make it and Art is there.
If the 49ers, Mike, if the 49ers, they get to the Super Bowl and they come out their song, I think last year was California Love or this year was California Love, have It's the End of the World as We Know It.
Yeah. Ready. Queued up. Got it.
Holy shit. I don't know what else to talk about.
Yeah, well, speaking of minds blown, I want to hear this whole Ireland thing, the Ireland trip. You had great pictures, but more importantly, you met up with the Ed.
Oh, I did. And
yes.
Dude, I think I texted you guys. He is as advertised. he is exactly how I thought he would be. He didn't change his pants the entire time I saw him. He had the same pants on for
Hang on. This is season one. New listeners are on board.
Oh,
so
right.
Give the backstory.
Okay, so
you went backstory.
I love it.
Dude, you got to reset, man.
You never know.
New people are going to be coming on board.
Here. New people.
A lot of advertising.
What do you mean, new
big,
people?
The big beer tasting we're having in the live show next Sunday, which we'll talk about
shortly.
What do
you mean, new people?
So for those that don't know or don't remember, Ed, Irish Ed, as we call him, is one of our longtime fans from Ireland. From
P1.
He's P1, yes. He's from Ireland, from Waterford, Ireland, as a matter of fact. He's been listening for a long time, and we've always talked about, I mean, I've teased him a couple times, like, oh, yeah, we're thinking about coming to Ireland, and he's been like, ah, whatever, it's never going to happen. Well, finally, it has happened, and he was like, yes, absolutely, let's hang out, let's do some bad things. We flew into Dublin, we hung out there for a couple of days, and then rented a...
This is you and your wife on your honeymoon.
This is me and my wife on my honeymoon, which...
Right, so... During your honeymoon, you're going to meet a drunk-ass lunatic listener of ours.
Again.
Making a major detour, going across the country to go visit someone who may well be a serious psychopath and might just
again,
kill
her idea. It was kind of on the direction of where we were going anyway, so it was perfect. And the whole country really is like the size of Maryland. I mean, you can drive across it in 3 hours. It's really simple. We stayed in Dublin for a couple of days, had a blast in Dublin, did some touristy things, and then drove to Waterford. My favorite part was this in the beginning was first he says, yeah, you can crash with me, although sleeping on the couch probably isn't the most romantic thing you want to do. he's like, but if not, you know, a friend of mine owns a hotel. So that sentence alone, I was like, all right, I'm expecting like a fucking piece of shit dive. Like, I was not expecting the hotel that we stayed in. It was a really, really nice place. And it was a very, very nice place. And turns out...
And his friend really owns it?
Yeah, his friend owns it. And him and his father, they own a couple of them. In fact, we stayed in the sister hotel in another town.
No
like a couple of days later, which was really funny.
Did they hook
you
up?
Oh, yeah, they hooked us up big time. It was great. It was just a fucking awesome time. He's like, yeah, I'll meet you down in the bar. I'll be there in a couple of minutes. I mean, literally, like, okay, great. And then I think I texted him or whatever. 5 seconds later, he's like, I'm here. It's like, what? His apartment is around the corner from the fucking place. So I was like, all right, great. So I meet him, and again, just as advertised, he's a big dude. I didn't expect him to be as tall as he was. And fucking full-on beard. He's got he had camouflage shorts on the entire time I saw him, which is fucking hysterical. And knew everybody in the bar, knew all the bartenders, knew everybody. He had me order bacon and cabbage, which we expect bacon to be the strips of bacon or whatever. Bacon over there is fucking
it's like ham.
Right? It's gobs of it. And it was awesome because it's not as salty as it is here on here. So anyway, we hung out with him, and the one thing I told him was, I was like, listen, man, we really don't like to do like a lot of touristy things. We want to kind of see like some local shit and like some stuff that maybe not a lot of tourists get to see. Dude brought us to, he brought us to his hometown. He brought us to, we climbed a mountain. We climbed a mountain together. Oh, we met his girl too. Yeah. She's awesome. She's hysterical because she's from Italy, but she grew up in Ireland. So she's got an Irish Italian accent, which is really funny. We go over to his place. He rolls a joint. The first thing we do, we pregame over there, and then we start partying at this bar. The first night we hung with an older German couple, which was hilarious. They didn't speak English very well. So we were translating some shit to them. It was pretty funny. So it was like, two Germans, an Italian, an Irish guy, and two Americans sitting at a table. It's a terrible fucking knock-up joke.
Into a bar.
That's exactly what it was. End of the time at that bar. Right before we leave, he starts rubbing the wall. And he's like,
what?
He starts rubbing the wall. And he's like, hey, man, feel this. I'm like, okay. And I feel it. And he goes, older than your whole country.
Nah.
It was the fucking greatest line ever. I was like, yep, it is. Yeah, we hung out. The next day, he took us, like you said, him and Ellie took us to this secluded like area with a bunch of people walking around, kind of like a park, but there was a mountain on it, and you're literally climbing a mountain, climbing rocks, and waterfalls are there and shit, and it was the most gorgeous fucking thing I've ever seen.
Unicorns.
Yeah, pretty much.
See the leprechaun.
And and then he's like, yeah, if you want to go surfing, I got a buddy.
What?
I got a buddy that owns a surf school. And I was like, what? It was? I don't even know you guys.
Who does he not know?
I didn't even know Ireland had waves. So, we go to this dude, surf school, who's a fucking total, I mean, just, if he could have, he was like the Irish equivalent of like Venice Beach. Which is just amazing.
Irish Patrick Swayze. Point Break.
He's like, we were like,
Bodie.
We were like, hey, can we grab some surfboards? He's like, oh yeah, sure, grab whatever you need. Just go ahead, grab it. I'll be right back. And they're like, all right, cool. So we grab the surfboards, grab a couple of wetsuits, fucking go into the Irish Sea, go swimming for a little while. And on these surfboards and shit. And I mean, there were no waves. There were literally no waves where we were. And I was like,
you're just boogie boarding.
Yeah, pretty much. It's pretty much what we were doing. It's like, dude, this totally made the trip because, I mean, it's literally stuff that, you know, if you're just hanging around, treading a new country, you wouldn't do shit like this. I mean, this was like stuff that only locals do.
Yeah, most tourists don't go surfing in Ireland.
Exactly.
Okay, what about Supermax? I'm dying to know.
Supermax is fucking great. We had it 3 times, I think.
Awesome.
It's basically like their Burger King,
like,
right?
McDonald's, actually. More like their McDonald's. Because there is McDonald's and Burger King there, and they really should. McDonald's really should sue them, straight up. But they're kind of in bed with Papa John's, which is weird, Supermax, because they kind of do the Taco Bell Baskin Robbins thing, or the Taco Bell Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut, right. Taco Bell.
Oh, man.
Pizza Hut and Taco Bell.
The places that I've seen are the combination Supermax and Papa John's, which is weird. Here's the other thing, too. Burgers and just buns in general are much bigger, believe it or not. Like, the size of them, they're actually a lot bigger. And all the meat is, like, really fresh because, having a burger, I'm like, yeah, dude, the burgers here are great. And he's like, yeah, the thing about that is the meat for that burger was probably from a cow that was slaughtered around the corner. Like, that's right. How it is over there. Yeah, I think I gained like 15 pounds just being there for fucking 10 days.
You got like a VIP
yes.
Guinness pool,
oh my
you?
God, that was fucking amazing. We go to the Guinness Brewery, and I know a guy that works for Diageo, and he got us like the free brewery tour. We go to the brewery. It's 7 floors. You walk in, it's just overwhelming. It's 7 floors. The 7th floor is the Sky Bar, you know, the infamous Sky Bar. It's a self-guided tour, but we go there for the connoisseur experience, it's called.
And yeah, I heard about this.
They're like, okay, just follow us. We'll, you know.
Wait, hold up. We need a backstory. What is Guinness again?
Fucking art, cracking wise.
Cracking wise.
Gets one free pair of Jordans. Gets all mouthy. The new cocky art with Super Bowl.
Kung Fu Grip.
Super Bowl art. Call him Spart. Keep your mouth shut, Spart.
They sit us down in the one bar where they teach, they do the perfect pint thing where they basically grab like a group of like 20. They teach you how to pour a perfect pint. You take a picture and then that's it or whatever. So we're sitting in that bar waiting for our tour guide, and all of a sudden, here he comes. He comes along. I forget what his name is. I think it was Adam or something. He comes along, and he grabs us and another couple who actually ended up being from Brooklyn. He's like, we're going to do a bit of James Bond right here, if you don't mind. And we're like, okay, whatever. So like I said, the whole place is wide open, and it's like a self-guided tour, and they have all these like displays from the different points of the different parts of the beer process and everything. So we literally walk behind one of those displays. He swipes a card on the wall, and a secret door opens up.
No
Yeah, like
way.
The wall opens up in a fucking door. And we walk into this private bar where there's like painted, there's paintings of Arthur Guinness and his family on the wall and shit. And like the recipe books and like all this like actual stuff like around this bar. And it's the real shit. And
the
it's,
real shit.
And it's our guide, that couple, and us. That's
Do they
it.
Take your cell phones at the door so you're not like recording
no,
anything?
No, I took pictures in there and stuff. It was us. Just the five of us. And he went through like the entire history of Guinness. We tasted all the different kinds that they make. You know, we just kind of shot the shit. And he taught us how to pour the perfect pint. We each did it. And we just shot the shit and had like 4 beers each. Just like sitting there. Just talking for like an hour and a half. It was great. And it was totally pimp. It was just so VIP. It was great. Afterwards, we were just like, yeah, we don't even want to do the fucking regular tour. Fuck this. That was great. That was perfect. We went up to the Sky Bar, had a meal, and had a... your ticket stub can get another free pint up there. So we got another free pint up there, and you look at the whole town of Dublin, and it's just fucking cool. And We went to the Jameson Distillery, kind of did the same thing, but it was a little bit more like we did the I did the tasting. We had a tasting of all the different types of Jameson whiskeys they had, which is really cool. When I was in Waterford with Ed, we saw him play. He plays like five times a week. Yeah, it's just him and another guy, Jay Flynn, who's also one of our friends on Facebook. The two of them get together, just a couple of guitars, and he sings. And fucking Ed's good. He's a good singer, man. He's really good.
Yeah, the stuff you posted on Facebook, dude.
I got a couple other videos too that I didn't post. I just wanted to post one of them, but
yeah, I bet you do.
So he's basically a Mumford and Sons tribute band, right?
we hung out that night too, and I met a couple of his friends. One guy, Jer, which is short for Gerard.
Backstory.
Yeah, just fucking had a blast, man. went all over the place.
Look at Aruba Jay doing that.
Went to Killarney, went to Galway, went to fucking, I don't know. We did everything. It was just that we did the whole country. We did the whole country in 10 days. I mean, it was just amazing.
You went to Scotland too.
Yeah,
right?
We went to Scotland for a day, really just because my family has roots in one town, in a specific town in Scotland, Greenock, Scotland. So we flew from Dublin to Glasgow and then took a train from Glasgow to Greenock and just kind of walked around. I found some addresses, some old addresses of distant relatives and the church where my three times great grandfather got married in twice. I saw a whole bunch of shit. It was great. It was a fucking awesome experience, and I'm glad I went.
Nice,
dude. I got
you got my money back from those scumbag fucking thieves at a brewmeister.
I have it right here in a bag.
Thanks.
Well, they don't use coins over there, so right. As you know, I'm not the greatest flyer in the world. So this time around, I drugged myself. We had some Benadryl. It worked. It worked fucking great. I was pretty knocked out for most of the flight. But I got to tell you this. Coming back, I had an Inception dream. I had a dream.
Let me guess. It was Art at the Super Bowl as an old man.
I've come to save you. I had a dream where I looked out the window and the plane was dangerously close to like a river. And we were like in a body of water or something. And then I'm like, wow, this guy's not going to pull out of it. And then all of a sudden, like, the plane's moving around like a fucking Harrier jet. Like, it's just kind of hovering and moving backwards and to the side. And then before I know it, the plane's in the water. Like, it's in the water. I see the water coming up on the windows and shit. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is fucking terrible. And then I wake up, and I'm like, that was fucking scary as shit. And Nicole's like, why? What's the matter? And I'm like, yeah, I had this dream that we were just really close to a river. And then I look out the window, and all of a sudden, we're really close to a river. And I'm like, what the fuck? This is happening. And then I wake up again, and now I'm really awake. And I'm like, whoa! What? I had fucking...
Who was flying that plane? We Too Low?
Oh, yeah. No, I did. I had a dream within a dream. It was really weird. And I,
wow,
it was a Supermax
because of the Benadryl. It was the Benadryl and a couple of Amstel lights I pounded before we got on the fucking plane.
Some people take, you know, melatonin or Xanax.
Oh yeah,
Mike goes old school.
I go stuff that I know I'm not gonna have Ambien dreams and wake up and or do sleepwalking all that shit.
Do you do the profiling?
Yeah, dude. What? I've never felt safer. It was the whitest plane I've ever been on both times. Going to Ireland. If you ever want to feel fucking safe, just in that regard. Or if you're really racist, go to Ireland.
Yeah. The most dangerous thing that's going to happen on a flight from America to Ireland is a couple of guys are going to get in a bar brawl on the plane. Going to get too drunk on mini
My
Jameson
wife
bottles.
How many black people we saw the entire 10 days? We can count them on one hand. It's incredible. But yeah, it was just a fucking phenomenal place to be, man. Great country, great people. Everybody's really nice. Everybody was really hospitable. I had some great conversations. I the other thing too is the one of the first nights in Dublin, we got suckered into going to this tourist trap of a restaurant for dinner.
Planet Hollywood?
Americatown.
Planet Dublin.
No, it's this place called Brazenhead, which is boasted as the oldest bar in Dublin, oldest pub in Dublin. So, whatever, we went, we saw it, you put a dollar bill on the wall, all that shit. And we had our meal, but as we were eating, we realized that everybody else in the fucking restaurant was American. We were like, oh my God. And then as we're sitting there trying to have a quiet meal, we realized how loud everybody is. How loud every fucking American in there was. Like, I'm from Indianapolis, and I got a great-grandfather's diary. Shut up. Nobody gives a fuck. As we were eating, I turned around. I'm like, I don't want to drink here. Like, I don't want to drink here after dinner. So she's like, okay, great. So we ended up befriending a bartender at a different bar. And he told us, yeah, I'm getting off in a little bit, and I'm going to a bar that me and my friends go to all the time called Wayland. So we went there, and it was perfect. It was just, like, fucking locals dancing around to like 60s and 70s rock, and we got on a fucking, all of a sudden they started a conga line out of nowhere. We got on that, and we were fucking, you know, we were just partying with a bunch of locals. It was great. It was awesome. Walking home drunk in places probably we shouldn't have been.
Nice.
We didn't give a shit.
You're in a black Irish
neighbor.
Unruly lads.
Old lads. Oh, it was great though. It was a good time, man. It was something I'm glad I did. I'm glad she talked me into it.
Nice. Did you kiss the Blarney Stone?
I wasn't going to until I finally saw that.
It's underneath the side of a castle-like wall,
like hanging
over the edge.
It's
underneath
the guy that is kind of helping everybody down to position themselves to kiss. They had like Windex, like disinfectant that they were using to kind of clean it off every once in a while, which was, well, no, it was.
Ew.
It's good. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. The last thing I wanted to do was fucking, you know, just get, you know, three times mouth herpes. For no reason.
Now, Art, were they Windexing the starting line at Indianapolis Motor Speedway? Because everyone kisses the bricks
Everybody had like a little sanitary wipe.
Did they really?
No.
What the fuck is this world coming?
No, I'm just joking. No.
Pussies.
It's Indiana, dude. Right.
They still call AIDS grid.
You can get the hizzurp off a tractor. All right, so let's talk to Robe J.
Well, first, I think more importantly,
we
should talk about our event coming up.
All right.
There ain't much time left before this.
All right,
thing.
Roby.
I don't know if this is going to come out immediately or right the week of, but either way, Sunday, August 11th, come day drink with us.
Man.
We've got a little mini beer and whiskey tasting that's going to be happening along with our live podcast at Newburgh Brewery in Newburgh, New York. We're going to be there from 12 to 5. There's going to be five or six breweries there, home brewers. Two distilleries, including Hudson Whiskey, free samples of everything, free admission. We're going to be doing live podcasts, interviewing all the brewers and distillers, doing Q&A. We're going to do some funky-ass infusions of all the Newburgh beers. They said, I'll tell you what we have the week before you come, and you can do whatever the fuck you want.
Someone's got to bring some Cookie Crisp.
Yes, they actually want to try it because they heard about
it.
That we did it at Hoptron with their beer. And like, oh, we'll definitely do that one because I want to try that. And they're like... Yeah, totally.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right next to the Waffle Crisp.
So they're like, you come up with some, we'll come up with some, fucking do whatever. They're totally down.
Are the Miller Lite girls in a big tent going to be there with hot dogs?
Absolutely.
Whiskey girls.
That'd be hilarious. Which is cool. You know what's cool? The Hudson Whiskey, you're going to get to taste their shit for free.
Yeah.
When you go to the distillery, you have to pay. So this is even better. Like,
well, we didn't pay for it the first time.
It's going to be freaking awesome. And. That's true. We did get it for free. I can't freaking wait. It's going to be a blast.
Thanks, Jay, for hooking that up.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait.
Totally. I'm going to Beer Fest in 2 days up at Omegang.
That's incredible.
Nice.
In Cooperstown. They do this huge Belgium comes to Cooperstown event every year. And it's basically, it's like a three-day thing. It starts Friday night. I mean, you could buy a VIP ticket to get the Friday night thing. They have like a whole beer dinner. The VIP one's like $250 for that. You go, you camp. We got the general admission Saturday. We're going to sneak camp anyway. You can just kind of sneak in and camp. But basically, you get there at noon. The beer fest starts. It goes from like 3 to 7. There's live music all afternoon, all the way till midnight. And after 7 o'clock, after the beer fest ends, basically the whole campground just turns into like, they call it beer stock. Basically, everybody, you're allowed to bring in whatever you want. Yes, don't drink the brown ale. People call it beer stock, and everybody just brings all the best shit, like, from their cellars, and everybody just kind of cruises around and hangs out, and everybody samples each other's beers. Homebrewers bring beers. There's, like, people, like, literally set up, like, kegs and jockey boxes, so there's, like, coolers with taps coming out.
You should bring a fucking wipe, a sanitary wipe, if you're sharing each other's beers. Jesus.
Well, I think you use your tasting glass from the beer fest.
Well,
don't think you're.
It's just a big swinger fest.
Bottles. But yeah, it's
just passing
beer stock.
Wives around. Six pack.
Thankfully, the most of them high alcohol, so it's antiseptic. So yeah, there's just music all into the night.
Jesus.
There's a fucking Ferris wheel. There's fireworks at midnight. There's a bonfire. There's like a late night movie on a huge screen, and it's just ridiculous. And people just camp out and fucking drink.
And the members of the All American Girls Baseball League are going to be there, so you're going to get drunk with all the way May and fucking.
Yep, absolutely. Gary Marshall will be there. Doing shots.
You've been to like how many beer events this year, man? It's been crazy for you, right?
Not that many. I mean, Savor was the big one.
Just say yes.
Yes, absolutely right. But this one, I hear people say it's the second best one to the Great American Beer Festival,
which
is like the huge one in Denver. Meanwhile, that thing is like over like 4 or 5 days, and like half of it sold out before they even put the tickets on sale. Like sold out in the pre-sale, and the rest of the tickets were down in 20 minutes.
Sell Jordans.
That one is the biggest one because. That's the one all the breweries go to because it's a huge contest as well. So that's the one like Toasted Lager won gold or whatever for lager, the Great American Beer Festival. You always see GABF like gold medal winner, silver medal winner, and that's like the big, the major like one that all the breweries go to. So there's literally hundreds of breweries that go to that thing because they're all competing.
Nice.
So I'm pretty stoked about
great.
That.
And yeah, this thing on the 11th is going to be just as just going to be a lot of fun. Just the fact that we're all going to be there.
I can't wait for the infusions, man. Those things at the Hoptron Boutique.
Well, you guys got to. Yeah, those are fun. You guys got to come up with some. Go on NewbergBrewing.com and look at their tap list. They have what's on tap right there, and come up with a wacky ingredient we can add to them.
And kudos to you for the sweet photos and pictures you've been putting together for that. The flyers.
Oh, thanks. I've been doing my graphic design.
In your robe?
Drove around tonight, and I've been putting posters up all over the place, local bars, beer stores. So I'm hustling.
I just remember the flyers and all that for the Kevin Smith Fest. We did that back in the day. You were, like, posting them everywhere. You're like, all right, Mike, how many did you post? I'm like, yeah, I think I posted one of the CVS and the Dunkin' Donuts.
I did a bunch of Comic-Con, actually, because I went to Comic-Con that 1 week.
No, you didn't.
It turned out well.
Fuck you.
You handing them out, just putting them in the recycle bin. Yeah, that's what works.
So what else?
Yeah, dude.
How was Aruba?
Your trip.
Movies. Aruba was fun. Just not much to report from that, man. It was just a freaking like 5 days of just bliss.
What happened though? Because I remember I was checking our Gmail account on the Google, and it was saying something like, "Someone from Aruba tried to get in. Is this authentic, or do you need
that
to change your password?" And I was like,
"Yeah."
I was like, "Who just? Wait a minute." I'm like, "Oh my god, we're getting hacked." Yeah. I'm like, "Wait a minute, Jay's in there."
You couldn't get into it at all.
I couldn't get into it. He's like, "Oh, we'll text you a code." And I'm like, "You can't text me. I'm in fucking Aruba. I don't have my texting going on." But whatever. It was just awesome, man. That place is fucking phenomenal.
Nice.
I'm just hanging out on like mostly empty beach, just fucking eating a delicious meal every night. Yeah, it was like a little mini boutique hotel. There's like a whole, like, they call it the high-rise section and like a low-rise section. So all the big hotels are in the high-rise, all like the little tiny ones.
The little one talks like this, and the big one talks like
the little one's always bugging the big one. He's like, "Hey, talk to like this."
How was Aruba Ed?
Aruba Ed was awesome, as advertised.
"Hey, man, got my own steel drum band."
Weird thing is we play Mumford & Sons covers.
"What's this all this then?"
"What's all this, man?"
That's cool.
It was awesome. I want to go back. That's about it. There's not much report. We were drinking whiskey with like the ambassador from Haiti who was there with some sort of mistress of his and a bodyguard. Just weird.
What?
Wyclef?
Totally got AIDS by proxy.
Yeah, it's Wyclef. Yeah, it's not much to report. Cool. It was just fucking phenomenal.
Dinner with the ambassador of Haiti.
Not dinner. We were just in some like, there's just like this weird bar like off the strip. It was like a tattoo place, and it had like old like hot rods outside of it, and just like way off the strip, like by the highway. It said Ratland on this, and then the one side of it was called like the Zombie Room or something like that, or the Shrunken Head or some shit. I don't know.
Ooh.
And like, so we walked through like a vacant lot to get to it, and I'm like, "I'm tired of these touristy fucking places. Let's go over there. Like,
let's go get killed."
Yeah. And it was just like this kind of empty tiki bar. And it was me and my wife and then like this older black dude and like some young hot chick. And then like this big giant black dude who's like passed out on the couch and the bartender. So I'm like, this is awesome. It's just like
the
this empty, dirty dive tiki bar.
Severed clits at the door.
Actually, the severed clit was
had
a drink.
Had drambuie in it. It was really weird.
It had human finger bones instead of an umbrella. I said, no touching. This old guy's just drinking like this fucking whiskey, like nonstop. And it's called Old Par. I'm like, I'm asked the bartender, what the fuck is Old Par, dude? He's like, I don't know. He's like some local whiskey that people like. That was a scotch, actually. It's like, I'm like, all right, fucking give me some. And then the Haitian guy's like, all right. Like, so we like bought him one. I was like, yeah, right on. And it turns out he's like the ambassador to Aruba from Haiti. I'm like, all right.
Beautiful.
That explains the prostitute and the bodyguard.
That's stellar.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
So that was weird.
But,
oh, yeah, I snorkeled at a shipwreck. That was kind of
nice.
Cool. Yeah, you got a little shipwreck
out
there.
Was it the cruise from the week
before? Kind of right, not too
cruise
deep.
Cruise liner?
Yeah.
Here you can still see some of their luggage hanging out.
That was about it. It was just fucking phenomenal.
That's cool, man.
That's it. That's
cool.
All I got to say. I recommend it. Stay
Aww.
At the Bacuti Resort if you ever go to Aruba. Good, great place.
I guess we should note also that we have an interview coming up under the end of this.
Yeah, Anthony Jeselnik. What's the backstory on this, Art?
First of all,
should I say Spart?
Yeah, these people reached out to me and they're like, "Hey, you guys did a good job interviewing Nick Kroll. Do you guys want to talk to Anthony Jeselnik?" I'm like, "Yeah, right. Sure, definitely. Who wouldn't?" At first, it was at like 3 p.m. and I'm like, "All right, Mike can do it." And then it got moved, and then I was like, "Hey, Mike, it's moved. Can you do it? I'm getting a haircut."
It was the day before
I was like,
leaving.
Yeah, and I was at work, so I.
He was like,
do
"It's
it.
Yeah," but he's like, "I'm like, all right, it's 5 o'clock." You know, when I texted you, you're like, "Yeah." I'm like, "But the interview's at 7."
Yeah, and I don't like, get off of work. Till
yeah,
six.
I don't know if I'm gonna be back by then. I'm like, "Where are you getting this haircut?"
Wait, it was at 7. I could have did that.
Okay, yeah. Here's another thing. I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet.
Okay,
I saw
yeah.
your beautiful picture with you in a robe in there, and like I.
Oh, I was in Aruba
yeah.
at the time.
And I'm like, I
oh,
saw you
right.
sign out. I'm like, "Hey, can you jump on to like speak with Anthony?" And all of a sudden you signed off. I'm like, "Wow, okay." Someone was getting a haircut and someone was in a robe.
Sure, blame it on our leisure time. Whatever, dude. So, but anyway,
yeah.
you talk to him.
Yeah, so
yeah talk
go.
To him yeah. about.
I was afraid he was going to fucking eat you alive.
No, he was.
Did you hold
yeah,
it on?
he was the coolest dude. He was just laid back, chill, and he appreciated the questions. I mean, we talked about, of course, the show. I love Defend Your Tweet, so I talked about that because it was...
Did you get any of my questions? Because I sent you some.
Yeah, you sent it to me after I was done with him. Thanks, by the way. Is your barber too busy? Like, I'm sorry. You don't even have Wi-Fi?
I was sending him while I was getting my eyebrows trimmed.
Yeah. Well, that took like an hour and a half alone.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but we talked about the show. We talked about roasts. And, I mean, you guys probably know this.
Yeah.
He wrote for Jimmy Fallon.
Like
well, yeah. Do you know like the whole backstory with that?
They didn't use any of his
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, and it was funny, too.
Because he's so dirty and dark.
Well,
he couldn't write for Jimmy Fallon.
Everybody
all.
Was laughing at his jokes, like the writers. And
yeah.
And Jimmy's like, "Yeah, we're not using that." And then someone says like, "Hey, I got a clown in a bear suit or something." I'm like, "Oh, that's great. We'll use that joke." And no one laughed. And he was like, at that point, that's when I wanted to, you know, have my own show and do my own thing. So, I mean, I think his number one passion is still stand up.
Yeah.
The Jeselnik Offensive, right? Comedy Central, new season. When does that start?
Just started. Actually.
Yeah, just started.
This past week. It was it's a great show. It's a fantastic show. It's on 10:30, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah.
Tuesdays, I think.
Yeah, just go to comedycentral.com.
Tuesdays.
He's never going to be mainstream, but like if you like offensive comedy, boy, there's none more offensive.
He's great.
And he said like Comedy Central did not really censor him. They censored one thing, and
I'm
that
surprised
was
surprised by that.
Yeah,
actually.
Did he say what they censored?
He didn't really go into it. He just said that they're like, "Hey, it just happened. Can you wait a week after?" I'm like, "What does a week matter if it's 7 days?" And he's like, "Yeah, I know. I don't get it, but."
He made a James Gandolfini joke like a day after he died.
Yeah. So whatever he must have said that got cut must have been really, really bad or something. I don't know. He said that, you know, the show, because this is in the second season, it lifted him to be, when he toured now, it was huge venues. And now that he's, instead of like 100 people, he's going to 1,000 people. And he said it's been great.
All right. So for this season, what else we got coming up? We're going to do the Last Dragon commentary very soon in the next few weeks, right? We got We got the beer show live from Newburgh Brewery that's going to be coming out. We're going
to
be doing...
I'm trying to get a couple interviews. Jay, you gave me a bunch of people. And right now, July and August, for some reason, people are taking vacation. I don't know what that's about.
That's
but
all right.
Why would someone? Why would people take vacation?
I have no idea.
Horseshit. People should be working every week like they do with the rest of the
year. Yes.
But we'll get the we'll get some more interviews coming up. We got some stuff on the horizon.
So hopefully Art will make that happen. Watch, now that Art's like gets free Jordans, he gets Super Bowl tickets, just the guest quality is gonna just fucking go to the shitter.
Ladies and gentlemen, Uncle Floyd.
Watch. Now Art will just be booking Mythbusters for his other podcast.
Entire cast of Breaking Bad and just Oscar winner after Oscar winner.
I got betting. The whole lineup of the Buffalo Bills from the 91 season for you guys.
All right, guys. We'll talk
Stephen
to you next
King,
week.
Everybody.
Did All you right. say Stacey King?
Stacey Keach?
Get Stacey Keebler. Let's get the scoop on Clooney.
Yeah. Ooh. Your wife knows too well, all too well.
Yeah, I know.
All right, let's get to Art's interview.
All right. Talk to you guys next week.
All right. See ya.
Bow season. Hey, everybody. It's Art. And on the line, I'm happy to have Anthony Jeselnik, who has his own show, of course, the Jeselnik Offensive, Tuesday nights on Comedy Central, 10:30, 9:30 Central. Thanks for taking the time to talk with me, Anthony. How you doing?
Good, man. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Second season, of course, of your great show. For you as an artist and comedian and all that, how have the show has kind of evolved from last season to this season?
I think it's evolved a lot, actually. You know, I think mostly I get more comfortable as a performer, you know, the more of these I do. You know, you look at a show like ours is very much like a late night show. And, you know, if Conan O'Brien famously needed 2 years to kind of get comfortable and get good at it, we had 10 episodes last season. So just by being on the air longer, I'm more comfortable. The show's better. And I think we got a lot of stuff out of our system in season one. We really wouldn't do that. Now we have to kind of be more creative. And kind of reach out there and go a little bit further with things than we did in season one, just because we're, you know, we've got to fill more time.
Nice. And using the analogy of a quarterback, you know, they take a look at tape and all that. Did you kind of look at the first season, look at the different episodes, say, you know what, I kind of want to make changes of this. Did you do anything like that at all or no?
It's funny. I kept telling myself I was going to watch all the episodes to, like, you know, get myself ready for season two, and I cannot watch myself on tape.
Really?
I can't. It drives me crazy because I get better all the time. Even if I do... you know, a stand-up set. I can watch it maybe that night, but then the next day I'm even over it because I feel like I'm just evolving. And so I see all the mistakes. And I just kind of went with the feeling of, you know, how I felt doing the episodes and remembering what I did. And you just move forward. You know, once you do something, you're not even thinking about it. Like, let's say we do a bit about cancer.
Yeah.
Then moving forward, I know that's not a possibility anymore, so I'm thinking about the next thing. So things just kind of evolve more than studying something to, you know, to make it better.
Very cool. I totally agree with that. Nice. And one of the segments I love, of course, I love the whole show, but defending your tweet, I just because, you know, especially with Twitter, like people say, like, you know, think before you hit send and all that. But I love especially the ones that you had with Jim Norton and all that. Who can we expect to have on this segment?
Oh, we've got great guests coming up. This Tuesday, we've got Kumail Nanjiani and David Koechner, who are awesome. After that, we've got, and David's got a great tweet. Kumail's got a hilarious one. We just taped that last night. And then coming up, we've got Adam Pally and Casey Wilson from Happy Endings, who are great. One of my favorite episodes coming up is Dave Attell and Joan Rivers. Joan Rivers is like a dream guest, and Attell too, to have them together is amazing. And then we've got coming up, we've got Eric Andre and T.J. Miller on the same episode, which is going to be insane. And Mark Maron and Pete Holmes,
who are
kind of rivals. So to get those guys together will be really fun. And then I think our final episode is Nick Kroll and John Mulaney, who are two of the funniest people in the business.
Yeah.
So we've got a great season of guests.
Nice. Yeah, Kroll is awesome. We talked to him a while back, and it's just his show and your show, I think, are kind of breaths of fresh air. I love what you guys are doing with that. And you guys comedians stick together. Is that why did you plot out and be like, hey, think about this segment. Do you want to come on and do you want to be paired with someone, or is it just strictly like, hey, this is what I'm doing and you're going to do it?
It's a more like a middle ground of these people are all my friends,
yeah,
know, for the most part. And then the most fun I have is with my friends. And it's great to get people who I admire, other people on the show. But if I can get friends on, it's the best. So a lot of the people who came back from season one are friends of mine who had a great time, and we just decided to get more creative. Like, you know, we asked John and Nick who they'd want to be with, and they said, oh, we'd love to be together if we could. And we knew, from knowing them so well, knowing their chemistry and their chemistry with me, we thought, oh, that's perfect. So get people on who are friends with each other, and that way everyone has a great time. You don't have to worry about what the other person is doing.
Nice. And besides the actual segment, defending your tweet, do you, like, since, you know, especially you guys are, like, you know, looking at different people's tweets, not the people you're going to have on, but is there just, like, one of the most ridiculous tweets that you've seen out there that you just kind kind of like, you know, love to maybe bang on or make fun of, whether it be like, you know, an actor, an actress, or a football player, or anybody like that?
You know, I can't think of like a specific tweet, but I have friends on Twitter who kind of do that. Like, and I follow them because I love it. Like a guy named Joe Mandy.
Okay.
Who's a writer for Parks and Rec, is hilarious on Twitter, and he pretty much just retweets hilarious like celebrity tweets. Like Russell Crowe would always tweet like how he'd worked out that day.
Okay.
You know, he'd be like curls with like 16 kilograms, and then ran like two, and then walked like 2 kilometers every day. He would retweet that and ask him like for workout tips. Or Harris Whittles, a friend of mine, has a thing called Humble Brag, where he retweets people who have like who say something. That they're bragging, but they're trying to be humble about it. You know, be like, oh, like the dress I wore at the Oscars looked so stupid last night. You know, that's a humble brag because you're kind of like trying to be humble, but you're telling people that you went to the Oscars. So those kind of tweets always crack me up.
Nice. Is there anyone that you're kind of looking for the show for this season? Was there anybody that, you know, you're going to have as a guest star that you're looking forward to work with the most this season?
It's got to be Joan Rivers. You know, okay. She's a legend. I love her. I got to meet her earlier this year doing her show. She's a show on YouTube called In Bed with Joan.
Okay.
Her web series that we got to meet and just hit it off. That she's such a legend and can be so offensive in the funniest way that I cannot wait to see how she sinks her teeth into my show. That's going to be legendary.
And of course, great stand-up comedian. You're hilarious and all that. Do you, now that you're doing the second season of the show, do you prefer doing the show over touring?
No, not at all. I mean, I love the show, don't get me wrong, but I've been a comedian for 11 years and things just keep getting better. You know, I've done a few specials now, or an album and a special. And now that with the show, I've been able to go and tour theaters as opposed to playing comedy clubs, you know, or bars. I'm now playing for like 1,000 people at a time. So, and that's only because of the show. So I like having both, but I don't have a preference between the two. You know, one feeds the other. But stand-up's my first love.
Nice. Yeah, and just kind of with that, now that you're going into bigger venues, does that faze you at all?
No, I mean, it's almost like I've been building myself for this the whole time. You know, my persona on stage is very cocky, and I'm the best. And it's kind of hard to say, like, listen, I'm the best when you're at, like, the Des Moines Funny Bone. But when you're at like a theater for 1,000 people and you come out and they know you already and they love you, then it becomes more organic. So a stand-up's just gotten more fun for me in front of the 1,000 people.
I know that you were a writer for a few late night shows and all that. Did your experience on those shows kind of inspire you to be like, you know what, I want to be the, you know, I want to call the shots on my own show? Did that kind of get you in the works about, you know, how can I develop my own show?
Oh, 100%. I mean, it never would have occurred to me. It was never a dream of mine to have my own show, and I always just wanted to be a writer on a show. And then I got to be a writer on Jimmy Fallon, and I immediately realized, oh, no, I want his job. You know, I want to be the guy who says yes and no. And because that's when you're the star of the show and like the kind of the main guy, what you say goes. You're the final word. And I thought that seemed fun. Could I get away with, you know, what I think is funny on a show? And that's the only reason I'm doing this now.
Nice. Yeah, and kind of speaking of that, I mean, I know that there's going to be a lot of people that, I mean, you see that, you read the review. I don't know if you have or not, but I'm guessing you see people be like, oh, he takes his, you know, jokes way too far. He does, you know, things too soon or whatever. Does Comedy Central kind of ever pull the plug on any of your bits or your jokes at all that, or are they kind of give you full rein?
I've got pretty much full rein. You know, there's only been a couple times where they've said like, oh, you can't do this. Usually it's like a legal thing. Like it's never like, oh, that's too far.
Yeah.
It just has to be funny enough to justify going there. You know, that's their concern, and that's my concern too. I'm not out there just for the sake of being offensive.
Yeah.
It's got to be a funny show. So they've been really good to me. I think the only time they'll get kind of queasy about something is if it's just happened. You know, they might be like, yeah, why can't you give it a week? You know, and sometimes you kind of just have to do that, but that's only happened once.
Yeah, okay. But I think it's like, what 7 days is, what is that going to transpire to anything? I don't know.
I mean, that's what I think for sure. You know, I mean, if it's funny in a week, why isn't it funny now? And it's got to be funny enough.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a tough line to do. So, and I work for a corporation now, but they let me go to it way more than anyone else ever would. So I can't complain.
Very cool. Yeah, especially, you know, the Comedy Central is definitely known to your work with the different stand-up shows and specials and all that. And of course, the roast. I love the way you dig in for roast and all that. So I take it you prepare for roast differently than your stand-up, right?
A little bit. I mean, you know, with stand-up, I'm trying to write the best jokes I can. Roasts are different because you're only telling those jokes once.
Okay.
You know, it's for a very specific time, and you have to really hit people in the right way. You've got to make a joke about something that everyone knows about, but also that not everyone, you don't want anyone else to have that same joke as you, so it's got to be unique.
Okay.
And I've always found that I over-prepare for roasts. I always think I'm not going to be mean enough or someone's going to have my joke. And then I'm sitting there waiting for my turn, and I'm watching other people go up. And I've had the same moment of, like, clarity every roast I've done where I'm like, oh, wow, I'm way meaner than anyone else here. And I'm thrilled to do it, but I'm always like, oh no, am I coming off soft?
Yeah.
My manager will say, like, Anthony, have you read your jokes? Like, you're not going to come off soft for sure. Don't worry about that.
Nice. And I know that comedians know that you're joking and all that. And some people, like actors or, you know, rappers or anything like that, like Snoop Dogg, he seems like he was pretty cool with the jokes and all that. But did anybody ever come up to you after roast and be like, how could you say that?
No one. Okay. After the roast, everyone scatters. Like,
okay.
No, before the roast, everyone's like, hi, nice to meet you. Like, if they make jokes, like, you're not going to be too mean, are you? You know, they laugh a little bit. Then after the roast, nobody wants to see anyone. You've all been making fun of each other and doing this stuff. They're just like, no one complains. They just will completely ignore you.
Nice. And out of the roast that you've done, do you have, like, a favorite at all? Or?
Oh, Donald Trump, for sure.
Okay.
Donald Trump was my favorite because it was my first. You know, no one knew who I was, so it was, like, a huge, like, surprise. And Trump was my favorite target because he was just this rich, famous guy that you would never feel bad for him no matter what you said. You know, Sheen was kind of going through some stuff.
Yeah.
Roseanne, I don't want to badmouth her, but, you know, she wasn't like a TV star at the time. You
yeah.
know what I mean? It wasn't
yeah.
like, so it wasn't like she was this unstoppable target, but Trump was my favorite by far.
Nice. And do we have any roasts coming up or can you say anything like that or no?
They just announced a new roast with, oh God, what's his name? Oh my God! I can't remember. What's the guy from This Is the End? He hosted the Oscars with.
Franco.
Yeah, James Franco's getting roasted.
Nice.
At the end of the summer, I don't know if I'm gonna be a part of it yet. My contract with them is up, but we'll see.
Cool. Very cool, Anthony. Thank you so much for taking the time. Continued success on the Justin Luck Offensive. You can check out on Tuesday nights, Comedy Central, 10:30, 9:30 Central. Thanks again, and keep on doing what you're doing because it's hilarious.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for having me.
All right, take it.
Bye.
For more good stuff, go to mastersofnone.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Masters of None.